Good afternoon. It's past five, so I'll just start. Welcome in this session about SharePoint Web Templates, both on-premises and in the cloud. My name is Mirjam van Olst. If you want to get in contact with me, either about this session or about something else, then you can do so via my blog or Twitter or email. I work for Avanade in the Netherlands as a SharePoint architect. I'm a SharePoint MVP. For what it's worth, I'm a Microsoft Certified Solutions Master at SharePoint. And I'm the Dutch user group leader, one of the two. We've got magazines that we publish every 3 months. We publish them online, so you can download them at the URL on the screen. But we also have hard copies, so please help me get rid of them. There's a couple at the front here, so come and pick them up after the session. We've also got lots of swag, because the previous speaker left some behind. So if you have any questions, then I can hand that out. So let's get into some detail. The agenda for today will start with the site provisioning options. So this is all about how do I provision my site based on a specific template with some specific configuration on my site. So we'll look into the different options that are there first. Then the meat of this presentation, obviously, we'll look into the web template fundamentals. Then web templates and app webs. So what can you do with that? What can you do with web templates in apps? Custom solutions for site provisioning, and then a wrap-up. So we'll start with the different site provisioning options that are available today. The first one is site definitions, and all of the out-of-the-box available templates, if you create a new site or a new site collection, those are all site definitions. In SharePoint 2003 and 2007, site definitions was the only approach for creating custom templates for sites. That changed in SharePoint 2010, and today you shouldn't be creating your own custom site definitions anymore. I still see people both in private, in companies, but also on the internet, on forums, and where people ask questions, answer that the right solution is a custom site definition. It is not. Whatever the question is, a custom site definition is not the answer. A couple of reasons for that. Site definitions cannot be changed after you have used them to create a site based on it. So that means if you use a site definition, you create a custom site definition, you create one site based on that site definition, your customer changes his mind and he wants something different on the site, so what customer ever changes their mind, right? Then you can't change that site definition anymore. So you have to create a new one. You have to hide the one that was already used, and then create a new one to use that for whatever changes your customer wanted to have made. But also, if you're upgrading your environment from one SharePoint version to the next, you can't just delete that site definition because then your site no longer works. So instead, you have to upgrade your site definition for the next version of SharePoint. If you have many, because your customer changed his mind a couple of times, then you have to update every version of that site definition whenever you upgrade SharePoint. And that will be true throughout every version of SharePoint, until you run into a situation where you can no longer do that. For instance, if you're moving into Office 365, you will have to do some sort of data migration because you can't deploy custom site definitions there. So no more custom site definitions. Site definitions can only be deployed in full trust solutions, which is then an additional reason why you can't deploy them in Office 365 or on any other cloud-hosted environment. Then web templates, which is the meat of this presentation, they were introduced with SharePoint 2010. And they are a lot more flexible than site definitions are. We can create a web template, create sites based on that web template, and then throw away the web template or change it completely without any harm done. There is no link between the site that was created and the web template that was used to create it. A web template can be created either deployed either in a full trust solution or in a sandbox solution. So that means that you could also use web templates in a cloud-hosted environment where you can't deploy a full trust solution. And we'll talk about that in more detail later. And every web template has a base site definition. So basically, it sort of links to a site definition. And we'll talk about what that means later as well. The third option to create templates for sites is site templates that you create through Save Site as Template, the link on the site settings page of every site, every site that doesn't have the publishing features enabled on it. If you use Save Site as Template, then that template will automatically be stored as a sandbox solution in your site. And it uses the web template technique behind the scenes to do this. In SharePoint 2003 and 2007, when we didn't have web templates, if you saved the site as a template, you would get a .stp file, which would basically be an XML file that contained the differences between the site definition and whatever state your site was in. If you save a site as a template right now or in SharePoint 2010, then you get a WSP file. So you get a sandbox solution with a WSP extension. That template that you saved as a template, that contains all features that could possibly be available in the original site. So all of the out-of-the-box features that you could have activated in the original site will be available in that site template, which means that it's usually messy. You can import it in Visual Studio, but then if you try to read it or you try to modify it, then you have to wade through all of these features and all of these property-back properties that you never used. But you know, SharePoint doesn't know that, so it has to take everything into account. It has to the approach is better safe than sorry, so it saves everything that you might have touched. So site templates are really easy to create, and a site owner could do it himself. You don't have to be technical for it. You simply go into the site settings page, but they're often unstable. If you use only out-of-the-box features, you'll usually be okay. If you create your own, for instance, content types, site columns, you save a site as a template and you'll try to reuse that to create new sites, then in many cases, that will fail. I've seen so many issues with it that as time goes by, I say just don't use site templates, create a web template if you really need to, or use an alternative site provisioning technique. Which gets us onto the last approach that we can take to create our own site collections and sites, which is custom solutions for site provisioning. What we could do is create a provider-hosted app for remote provisioning. If we do that, then for on-premises environments and Office 365, we can both create subsites. And on Office 365 or other multi-tenant environments, we can also create site collections. With the new APIs or the preview APIs that were announced yesterday, we will also be able to create site collections in on-premises environments. But today that doesn't work yet. So today we will need a full trust component, for instance, a web service, that will have to be deployed on the SharePoint server to do that little bit of actually creating the site collection for us. If you want to know more about that, then on Thursday morning, you have to get up early and visit Fessa and Bert's session about site provisioning techniques with SharePoint apps. And they will show a lot of demos about this technique. So let's dive into the web template fundamentals. Start with web template features. A web template is created using the web template feature element. So in the elements file, if you start add a new element, you can add a web template element, and in that, you can add all the metadata from the site. From your template. This feature that you add that web template element into can be either site or farm scoped. It can't be web application scoped, and we'll get back into a web scoped later on. But for a normal site, it can't be web scoped either. Feature is site scoped, then the web template will only be available in site collections where your site scoped feature with your web template in it is activated. If your feature is farm scoped, then the web template will be available throughout the farm. So if you go and create a new site collection from central administration, then the template will be available there as well. So we can use either a farm solution or a sandbox solution to deploy our web templates. If we have a farm solution, obviously we can only deploy it in an on-premises farm where we have full control. If we have a sandbox solution, then we can use that both in an on-premises farm and in cloud-hosted farms, like for instance, Office 365. If we have a web template in a sandbox solution, then we have to keep in mind that using code behind in sandbox solutions is deprecated. So we don't want to start creating new sandbox solutions with code behind in it. That means that we're a little bit limited because we just want to create a declarative sandbox solution. For web template itself, that's okay because web template is XML. It's two XML files, basically. So we can safely do that in a sandbox solution. If you want to add more things like web parts, then it will become a bit more difficult to do that in that way. So I will show a couple of things that you can still do in a sandbox solution in a web template. If you need to do more, then basically the right approach would be to use the remote provisioning technique and create your own solution that way. That will give you more flexibility. You can use apps, you can use CSOM to add more components to your site. So that will probably be a more flexible way if you have that opportunity. If we create a web template, we can open up Visual Studio and we create a new SharePoint 2013 empty project. Into that project, we add an empty element. In this case, it's called Contoso Web, that will automatically have an elements file. And we will also add an onet.xml file into that. For anyone that has used site definitions, will remember that every site definition had an onet.xml file as well. It's the same type of structure. There are some elements that aren't available for web templates, but in general, it's the same type of onet.xml file that we used for site definitions. For a site definition, we also had a webtemp.xml file that was stored on the file system of our SharePoint server. We don't have that in a web template. So instead, we have the elements file, and that elements file then contains the metadata of our web template. Looking at solutions, if we do have a web template in a farm solution, we can choose whether we want to deploy our web template using a farm or a site-scoped feature. If we do use a farm solution, the onet.xml file and the elements.xml file will be stored in the features folder on the file system of the server. If we have a sandbox solution, we can only use a site-scoped feature, and the onet.xml file and the elements.xml file will be stored in the content database where a site is stored. So you can go looking for it on the file system, but you won't be finding any of those files. So just keep that in mind, especially if you're trying to troubleshoot it. So site templates, which is basically just a form of a web template, which we create using the Save Site as Template setting on the site settings page. It also creates a sandbox solution, and that is then stored in the site collection solution gallery, so right there with our other sandbox solutions. It's interesting to keep that in mind, especially if you're going to do an upgrade, for instance, of an environment. Then you want to make sure that you know what you sort of have in your site collections. And what's also interesting, if you now have SharePoint 2010 and you use Save Site as template, people are using those templates today, and you upgrade your environment to SharePoint 2013, not in all cases will your site template keep working. There are now more site definitions on which the Save Site as Template option is not available. For instance, Document Center sites can no longer use Save Site as Template in SharePoint 2013. So if you had created a template based on a Document Center site in SharePoint 2010, you upgrade your environment to SharePoint 2013. After that, your site template will no longer work. So that's a good one to keep in mind. And another reason not to use this approach, but just to create a web template. So as I said earlier, a web template is based on a site definition, and it's in quote for reasons. It links to a site definition, but it doesn't actually take anything from the base site definition that it's linked to. So it doesn't inherit any of the settings or the configurations from that site definition. However, SharePoint needs to link to a site definition in the content database in order to be able to know what kind of site you have created. And whatever you list as the base site definition for a web template will be what is stored in that content database. Basically, you can sort of envision it as, for SharePoint, it will be like you created your site based on that site definition that you listed as the base site definition and then started configuring that site until it looks like it does after you use the web template to create it. So it's just basically a configuration on top of that site definition. But you have to store all the settings, all the configuration in your web template as well. So the good thing about a web template is that it can be changed and deleted after it has been used. So if you no longer want it, if your customer changes his mind, no problem, we will just modify it. Here you can see sort of the relationship between a site definition and a web template. The XML at the top is the out-of-the-box or a snippet of the out-of-the-box webtemp.xml file that contains information about the out-of-the-box theme site and blank site. In the highlighted bits, you can see the template name, STS, the template ID, which is 1, and the configuration ID, which is 0. So if you then look at the XML at the bottom, which is a snippet from the elements.xml file of a web template. So you can see in there that we have a base template name and a base template ID and a base configuration ID that link to the elements to the same values that are available in that webtemp.xml file. You can look up those values for every site definition by just simply going to the file system on your SharePoint server, going into the SharePoint root folder, going to template 1033, assuming you have an American or an English language pack on it, and then go into the XML folder, and then you can see there all the webtemp files that are available if you don't want to use the out-of-the-box team site, but you want to use something more exotic, then you'll have to find the right file, but you can just simply open them up and read from them which types of definitions are in there. In the top snippet, you can see that there are two configurations. So there's the team site and the blank site. That is something that is not available in a web template. A web template can only have one configuration. If you want more options, more different flavors of a web template, you will have to create another web template. It's not a problem, it's just something you have to keep in mind, right? It doesn't matter how many web templates you create because you can modify them after you created them, you can delete them if you no longer need them. But it's something to keep in mind. It's only one configuration in a web template. If we look at the order in which sites that are using web templates to provision the site are provisioned, then we always start with creating the URL for the site. So the first thing is we reserve a URL. In the old days, if you used to do this and your site creation would fail halfway through, then your URL would still be blocked because it would be reserved somewhere in the database. That's no longer the case. It's transactional now. If your site creation fails halfway through, then your site will not be created. It will all be rolled back, and you can use the URL to try again after you try to troubleshoot whatever was wrong on your web template. The second step is that all the functionality, the features that are specified in the global onet.xml file, so the global site definition is a base site definition with just some very basic functionality in there. And every site in the SharePoint environment will at least have all the functionality that is defined in the global site definition on that. So the first thing that happens is that everything that's in there will be provisioned on your site. The next step depends on whether you're creating a site collection or a subsite. If you're creating a site collection, then the site collection scoped features will be activated in the order in which they are listed in the onet.xml file. If you're creating a subsite, then SharePoint will verify that all the site collection scoped features that are listed in your onet.xml file are activated on the site collection underneath which you're trying to create a subsite. If some of the features aren't activated on there, you will see an error message and the site won't be created. You can work around this by basically not adding any site collection scoped features, but instead creating a web scoped feature that will activate all the site collection scoped features that you need. If you do this, you have to take into account that every user that creates a subsite, or every site owner that creates a subsite, will then be activating those features on whatever site they were in. So you have to keep in mind, if the publishing feature is in there, for instance, they can no longer use the Safe Site as template functionality. So it doesn't have to be a problem as long as you are aware of what the trade-off is for doing that. Obviously, the positive side effect would be that you can always use that web template regardless of whether some of these features are activated on the site collection that you're creating a subsite in or not. The next step is that the site scoped features will be activated, also in the order in which they are defined in the onet.xml file. So if one depends on another, then make sure that you keep that in check. And the last step is that the list instances that are listed in the onet.xml file are created. If you have a feature that adds some functionality to a list that is created as a list instance from the onet.xml file, then that's never going to work because at the moment the feature fires, the list doesn't exist yet. So if that's the case, if you have that requirement, then make sure that you create your list in a feature instead of in the onet.xml file, which again is not a problem as long as you keep that in mind while you're designing your web template. And then you can do whatever you want on that list because you have control over when that list is created compared to when the modifications are made. A couple of limitations, and really limitations should be in quotes as well. Only use one configuration. Using multiple configurations doesn't work, so if you want multiple flavors, then make sure you create multiple web templates. You can't use the module element, which is available in site definitions in the onet.xml file. Again, it's not a problem because we can use the module element and just create features for that, which is a better approach anyway. One thing that's always done in a module element in the older site definitions is provisioning the default.aspx pages, so the homepage of your site, and usually adding web parts onto that as well. So you will need something to do that. You will need a homepage, and you usually want something on that homepage. So you have to create a feature that will then give you that functionality. And I'll show you in the demo how you can do that. Actually, in the out-of-the-box site definitions, there are a couple of examples that show this really well as well. There are a couple of components that are available in CI definitions that are not available in web templates. I don't think any of us will be touched by this. So is there anyone that uses any of these components in their CI definitions? Yeah, me neither. So that's not a problem either. And then we can't use feature stapling, but we don't need to use feature stapling because we use feature stapling with CI definitions because we can't modify the actual CI definition after it has been created. With web templates, we can simply modify the web template and add those features into our own add.xml file in the web template and redeploy the web template. The other positive thing about that is that we can control the order in which features are activated. With feature stapling, the features are activated in random order, so you need to make sure that you define them and you create them in a way that there's no dependency between them. So again, not really a limitation. And then there's only one real limitation, which is if you're using variations, so not multilingual, but variations, and you want to create a variation hierarchy, for that you can only use CI definitions. So for that you can't use web templates. It's not an extremely common scenario, but if that is your scenario, then you will have to use a web template to do that. And probably the best approach is to modify that that CI definition after the site was created, or the site after the site was created. So one best practice for web templates when you use a web template to create site is to store the information about the web template that was used to create the site somewhere in the site. Because there is no link between the web template that was used to create the site and the site after it was created, if you want to do maintenance on your sites, if you want to see how many sites of a certain type you've got in your environment, there is no way to do that unless you stored the information in the site when you were creating the site, when you were provisioning the site. So a good approach for that is to create a hidden web scoped feature so that people can't deactivate it, or if you don't make it hidden, make sure that there's no deactivation code implemented. Add this to the web feature section of your own add.xml file so that it's always activated when you create a new site. And then store the web template name and the feature ID, the version maybe, in the property back of the site or in a list on the site. It doesn't really matter where you store it as long as you make sure that it's on the site and that if you need it, you can find it again, so that you know which version of a web template or which web template was used to create a particular site. It's especially useful if you want to create a new version and you maybe want to make changes to all older versions of that specific, that were created with a specific web template. So with that, let's switch to a demo. Let me unlock my machine first. There we are. Yep. So I've just got a very standard SharePoint environment. There's not much been done on here. And I've created two solutions. I've created a full trust solution and a sandbox solution. And both of them have web templates in them, so I can show you the difference of what happens when you use either of these approaches. We'll start with the full trust solution, created in Visual Studio using an empty SharePoint project. And in that, I added an empty element, which I called document site. I have two files in there. I have an elements.xml file and an onet.xml file. In my elements.xml file, you can see the metadata of my web template. In this case, I'm basing this on a site definition, which is called BDR, which is the document center site definition. The ID of that is 7, and the base configuration is 0. So I give it a display category, so this is where the user can find it in the user interface, and a name. This name, your web template name, has to match the name of your empty element. If it doesn't match, then you won't be able to deploy it and get it to work. There's also a title, which is what users will see when they create a new site based on your template, so make sure that it's something that users can understand. And a description, which again is something that users will see when they use your template to create their site. And I've added an onet.xml file in there as well. And both of them are added into a farm scoped feature. So I have one feature in here, which is farm scoped, which has a title and a description, and it has the document site element in there that I added into my solution as well. So if you can see where this information is coming from, I'm just opening up an Explorer window and browsing to the root folder of SharePoint. common files. So here we can see in the template folder, 1033 XML, here you can see all the web temp files that are available in my environment. And there's one that is called web temp BDR, which is where the document center information is stored. So if I open that, then I can get the information that I need, basically to be able to create my web temp, my elements.xml file from this web temp file. So you can see in here, BDR is the name, the ID is 7, and the configuration ID is 0. I don't have to use any other information that is in here. So the next step for me would be to copy the onet.xml file that is available in the environment by default and copy that into my Visual Studio solution. I don't want to be creating or writing all this XML on my own. So this is what you get out of the box. There's a lot of stuff in here, and for my solution, I trimmed this a little bit. So if I look at my own onet.xml file, it used to be a copy of what you just saw, but I trimmed out, for instance, all the document templates in here. So if I go up here, you can see that there's no document templates in here, which is fine. My site will still do exactly the same thing in there. I've only got one configuration ID. I don't have two anymore. I don't have any modules either, but in the out-of-the-box document center site definition, there aren't any modules either. So the out-of-the-box document center site definition actually uses a really good approach already, and it uses a feature to add the homepage to the site that you use after you use it to create the site. So I actually copied that for my sandbox solution so that I could actually steal the approach that they used and use it myself as well. So if you're creating something like this, then it's really easy to use one of the out-of-the-box site definitions be inspired by what is done in there. Something else to keep in mind is that the out-of-the-box site definitions have quite a lot of features stapled to them. Those features aren't activated and they aren't listed in the onet.xml file. So once I copy the onet.xml file, those features aren't activated on my site if I use my web template to create a site. So what I have done is I've opened up the staple feature on the environment by going into the features folder on the file system and looking for the base site stapling feature. If I open that up, you can see again it's an XML file with a lot of information in there. And I'm looking for the ones where it says BDR. So we can see on there one with BDR and a template association. So that's that ID that you see in there is the feature ID for the feature that was stapled to this site definition. I copied all the IDs of all the features that are linked to the BDR site definition, and I've added them into my onet.xml file. So in my solution, I just made a list so that you can see what it is, and I added the scope of those features and whatever functionality is activated by that feature. And I've added them to the list of site features and web features, depending on what the scope of the original feature was. So by doing that, I have all the functionality available that was available, would be available if I used the out-of-the-box document center template. Obviously, if I would just be doing this and then deploying my solution, then I might as well have used the out-of-the-box document center site definition. So I've added some additional stuff. I created a web part that adds a logo to the homepage, which in this case is the SPC logo. So it's just a simple visual web part that has an image element on it that has the SPC logo in it. Not very interesting, but at least it shows you that it adds something different to the site. And what I've also done is I've created another empty element called property back info, in which I have another elements.xml file, which for me stores information about this web template in the site if I use this web template to create a site. So the web template name, the SPC document site, and the version, in this case, 1.0. I can add more information in here if in your environment more information would actually be useful. So in here, I've created a couple of extra features as well. I have a web parts feature, which is site-scoped. The web part feature will always be site-scoped. I have a web-scoped feature, which adds the web parts to the homepage. So this contains an event receiver with a little bit of code in there that opens up a web part manager and then basically adds the web part that I created, the logo web part with the image in it, onto the homepage of the site that I just created. So nothing too fancy. And I have the save web template info, which is another feature which basically adds that empty element with the property back info to my site as well. So that's all there is to it. I've already deployed this one, so you don't have to wait for an IIS reset. So I can now create a new site collection, and I can base it on the template that I just showed you in the full trust solution. Seeing as my environment has gone to sleep, I might as well have created the solution now. So we'll just wait a second for it to load. So here you can see I can create a new document site, so my SPC doc site, just add a title and a URL, and you can see here that I have an extra tab on my page, which is called SPC, in which I can select my template. Right now there's only one template in there, there's the SPC document site template in there. So I'll fill in administrator, devbox, so it's always administrator. And we can create a new site collection. Creating a new site collection will take a little while, so in the meantime, we can start looking at the sandbox solution. The base setup of my sandbox solution is exactly the same. I created a new SharePoint project, an empty project. I selected it to be a sandbox solution, though, instead of a farm solution. Again, I added an empty element into it. In this case, it's called project site, which automatically has an elements.xml file in it, which has some base information in there. In this case, my base template name is project site, which is the out-of-the-box project site. The template ID is 6115. The base configuration ID is 0, and then again the name, which has to match my empty element, display category, a title, and a description. I copied the onet.xml file from the out-of-the-box project site, and I had to strip this one quite a bit because it still has some modules in it. If we go onto the file system and we open that up, we go into the site templates and into the project site, you can there see the default ASPX page in there as well. You get the same document templates that I stripped out again, but we've already seen that. But in here, you can also see that we have a module which provisions the default.aspx page for this site and adds a couple of web parts to it. Because I'm stripping out this module information, I need to do something else to add a new homepage to my site, because otherwise I will just get a blank site, a blank homepage to which I can't add any web parts. In most cases, that's not what you want to do for a user. So we created a new module, and into that module, I called it Project Homepage. I copied the default.aspx page that we just saw from that project site site definition, and in the elements.xml file here, you can I copied basically the information that you just saw in the onet.xml of the site definition. And that same information is now in here. So I have my module, which is called default. The file path has to be adjusted because you put it into a module, so it needs to include the path of the module. The URL can be the same, default.aspx, and then these web parts are just simply copied from the onet.xml file. So there's no need to modify any of that if you just want it to be the same stuff. So that was added in there, and again, I also added a property back info empty element to store the information about this web template in my site as well. In here, you can see my web template name is SPC project site, and the web template version is 2.1. I didn't deploy this yet. We've already seen when I was creating a site from central administration that it wasn't visible there, but if I go into a site, my SPC site, I go into site settings, and into my sandbox solutions, or my solutions library. Oh, it shouldn't have been in here. It's already in here. Okay, so we have this in here already, so then I don't need to deploy it again. If you go into my site contents, and I create a new subsite, and we call it project. Oh. Project site. We can use this in here, and you can see that because this is a site in which the sandbox solution has been deployed and the feature has been activated, the template is actually available. So I can use the template that I created in my sandbox solution to create subsites in this site collection. So I will choose the project site template and create a new site based on that. Make it a bit easier to navigate for myself and create a site. So in here, this is the site that we just created based on the full trust solution from central administration, a new site collection. You can see on there that we have the name that we filled in. It's basically pretty much the out-of-the-box document center template, but it, on the homepage, it has an additional web part which shows the SPC logo. So you can see that that works fine. We can do the same thing for a subsite, so I can create a subsite based on the same template, as long as I make sure that all the features that I listed in the site features section of my own ed.xml file are activated on the site collection. So if I would try to create a subsite underneath a out-of-the-box team site based on the template that was created based on a document center template, then that doesn't work because it has other site collection scoped features activated on it. So that's a limitation that you have to keep in mind, and you have to think about what solution you want to use there. That can be what you want. It can be exactly what you want to create in your environment, but you might also want to consider creating a web scoped feature and then activating your site collection scoped features from there. So here we now see our project site, which we just created based on our sandbox solution. It looks very much like the out-of-the-box project site, so you can see that adding the default page in here and adding the module into our extra feature, that worked. It actually provisioned the homepage for our site. In here, you can also see two additional libraries. It's SPC pictures and SPC announcements, which reminds me that I forgot to show you something in the onet.xml file. So if we go back into the onet.xml file, with very simple measures, we can add configurations of out-of-the-box lists. So without creating an additional feature, I added an out-of-the-box list with a feature ID. This is the ID of the list that the list has out of the box. A type, 109, which is the picture library type ID. And a name, a URL, and a specification that it should be shown on the quick launch. I did the same for an announcements list. So if this is enough for you, if that covers your requirements, then that's a really easy thing to do. Obviously, if you want to add your own content types, your own site columns, then you would have to create your own list in your solution and deploy that as well. You can create a list just using a declarative approach. The same is true for content types and site columns. So you can still do that in a sandbox solution. However, if you want to manage metadata site column, you can't do that with a declarative approach. So for that, you would need to find another approach. So if you get into that sort of territory, if you want to do more with your on your site in your templates, then for environments where you can't deploy a full trust solution or you don't want to deploy a full trust solution, the remote provisioning option would actually be a better option. If you have really simple requirements, or you know, then this could be a valid approach even in cloud-hosted environments. So one thing that I still want to show you, in central administration, when we were creating a site collection, you couldn't see the sandbox solution template, obviously. Because that's only available in the site where that feature is activated, where that sandbox solution is deployed. However, we can still create site collections based on that template. So what we could do is, in here, create a Project A site. Project A. And we select the custom tab, and on that custom tab, we select that we will select the template later. So we'll do that. We'll add our administrator to the site. And we'll create this site. This will be really quick because it doesn't actually provision anything. It basically just saves the URL and does the global site definition stuff on the site. But it can't do anything else because we didn't select a template yet. Obviously, when I say that something's really quick, it's not. Okay, so we can browse to our site and we see that SharePoint takes us into the page where we can select a template right away. No template is selected right now, so we can't do anything else on this site at the moment. What we can do, however, is we go into the solution gallery and we can upload a solution. So we browse to our sandbox solution, which we have on here. Sandbox templates, we go to our bin folder. It was all built in debug mode. If you do this on your own environment, outside of your development environment, please make sure to deploy it in release mode. Because I've actually seen environments crash because of how much slower a debug build is. So we activate the solution. It's now activated on the environment, and we should be able to choose the template now. So I go back to my Project A site. I will be again redirected to the page on which I can select a template. And in here, you can see now that I can select the project site template because we just activated that sandbox solution on here. So I select that template. That's all I have to do right now because everything else was already done. And this site, this new site collection, will be provisioned based on the template that we deployed in a sandbox solution. So you can see that even if you can't deploy full trust solution, you would still be able to create templates for your site collections. It just, it's a little bit of extra work whenever you create a new site, because you have to actually do all those steps to upload the sandbox solution and activate the features and then choose the right template. So as you can see, it's exactly the same site right now, but this is a site collection and not a sub-site. So switch back to my slides. And we'll talk a little bit about using web templates in app webs. You cannot deploy web templates to create other sites using an app. And that makes sense because usually your app lives within within a site. The only thing you can deploy in an app is the web template to create the app web. And you've probably seen many app sessions by now, but I've, just in case, I will still reiterate what an app web is. If a user browses to a site, your normal site can be any type of site, this is called the host web. And the URL would be something that you would normally see, teamsite.wingtip.com/site/, in this case Project A. If the user then adds an app to that site, and that's either a SharePoint-hosted app or a provider-hosted or auto-hosted app that has any SharePoint declarative components in there, then an app web will be created. That app web is a subsite of the web that the user added the app into, but it has a different type of URL. So you can see on the screen, it has an app prefix, it has an app ID, and then the wingtipapps.com, so it's another domain as well, but it's still in /sites/project A. However, a user would never browse to an app web. It's not a web that a user uses. It's just an app that is used to host your app content, that is SharePoint app content. So a user will see the app bits from that app web, but it will not actually browse to the app web itself. So to use your own template, to create your own web template to modify whatever is on that app web, in most cases will not be very useful. You could add a list to it, but the user will not be browsing to that list. If you need that list in your app, then that might still be a useful thing to do, but it's not something that the user will actually access directly. However, the option is there. So if you are creating an app, you will be creating your app web either using the out-of-the-box site definition, which is app-0. That's the default. If you want to use that, you don't have to do anything. The other option is to create the app web using a custom web template. A custom web template will be deployed in the app itself in a web-scoped feature. So whereas a normal web template can only be deployed in a farm-scoped feature or a site-scoped feature, if you want to create or you want to deploy a template to create an app web, you have to deploy it in a web-scoped feature. If you try that and you want to create a normal non-app web site based on that template, it doesn't work. So only for creating the app web, you use a web-scoped feature. You have to define the web templates that you want to use to create your app web in the appmanifest.xml file, and you'll be using the web template element in that file. And what you will do is you will specify the ID by using the GUID of the app web, the app web feature, so the feature that you created to create your or to deploy your web template, followed by the web template name attribute. And there's a feature ID property in there as well. You see that because of the IntelliSense, but that doesn't do anything anymore. That is obsolete because you already specify the feature ID in the ID property. You cannot use any other out-of-the-box site definition. So you can only use the default app template, or you can use a custom web template. If we look at what that appmanifest.xml code looks like, then we can see that in here. The only thing that I modified in here basically is the highlighted sentence. So we can see the web template ID, the web template element, and there's an ID in there. We have the feature ID of our feature in there, and then we follow that by the name of our web template, which in this case is Contoso App Web. So the example from the solutions that we just saw would be project site or document site. So that's the name that you can fill in there. Then we can look at custom solutions for site provisioning. So we've now looked at, well, we've talked about web, about site definitions. We don't want to use them anymore, except for the out-of-the-box ones. We've talked about web templates, which are still a really good option, especially in an on-premises environment where you can deploy full trust code still, and you have the flexibility to add web parts into that and to modify whatever is done on your site there. You can also use web templates in a cloud-hosted environment, but then you would have to use a sandbox solution, and you're a bit more limited because you don't want to deploy code behind in there. And if you want to create a site collection based on that template, you have to go through a couple of extra steps to make sure that that template is available within your site. So a fourth option in, and we've looked at site templates, which are created by using the Safe Site as Template functionality in the site settings page, which in my opinion isn't a really good option anymore. Basically mostly because it becomes unstable, especially if you do custom stuff on your site. So our fourth option is to use a custom solution for site provisioning. And we have two different flavors in there, basically. We have site provisioning for on-premises environments, where we have our SharePoint farm hosted in our corporate network, usually somewhere, which we are managing ourselves. And we have a provider-hosted app that we created that we want to use to basically provision our sites, to modify the sites that we are creating. What we need to do in order to be able to create site collections is we need to deploy a custom WCF web service to our SharePoint farm, because there is no way that we can use CSOM or REST to create site collections, to create site collections at the moment. With the new preview APIs, with the new APIs that are now becoming available, you can do that. So if you wait a little bit longer, we don't need that extra component anymore. But right now, at the moment, we do not need that extra component. So if you have an on-premises environment and you want to use this approach, for instance, if you know that you will be moving to a cloud-hosted environment within a reasonable amount of time, then this is probably still a really good idea. Because changing this to be completely a provider-hosted app without any full trust components is really easy. So this is just one in-between step that we need to take, because at the moment the APIs aren't available there yet. We can create subsites without this component. We just can't create site collections without it. So we create a web service that allows us to create these site collections. So the first step would be we create this provider-hosted app. The second step would be we create a WCF web service. And then we can create some configuration that will allow us to modify the sites that we create using CSOM and REST. And most of the things that we might want to do on our site collections are actually, or our sites, are already available in CSOM or REST. So for instance, adding lists to our site, content types, site columns, all that sort of stuff, we can already do without full trust code. So we don't need full trust code for that. If we would just be creating site collections based on the out-of-the-box templates, again, there's not much need for creating a provider-hosted app, or any app for that matter. We could simply use the out-of-the-box interface. But if we want to create different configurations of our sites, like we do with, for instance, web templates, then what we could do is we could create our own framework to do that. So we could specify an XML format that we want to use, and that we can then use to create our own templates for our sites. That XML can then be read by our app, so we can use that that approach, so that we can use one set of functions that are available in that provider-hosted app, and we can simply create new XML files every time we need a new type of site. And whatever functionality is available in CSOM and REST, we can easily add into those XML files. As long as we make all those features available in our provider-hosted app, we are very flexible with our templates. We can create new templates on the fly without even doing a deployment to any environment. So we can add all that information in there. The first step is for a user to select what type of template he or she would like to create. The second step would be for us to create a site collection, and then the third step would be to actually configure that site collection or that site. So this gives us a lot of flexibility, and this will work on the on an on-premises environment. If we look at Office 365 or other cloud-hosted environments, you don't even need that additional step. So we have our SharePoint farm, which is hosted in the cloud. We have our provider-hosted app, which is hosted, well, it can be hosted anywhere, basically. And on there, we have the same approach. So we can create our XML files. We can have XML files in there that we use to configure our site collections or our sites that we use to add lists to it, content types, site columns, add a web part to the homepage, maybe manage that. So that's we can all do that, and it's very easy and very flexible. And because the API is already available here, we can create our site collections right away. So we can create our site collections without needing that WCF component that we currently need in an on-premises environment. So we actually can do more right now with this approach on a cloud-hosted environment than we can do in an on-premises environment. If we have an on-premises environment that is multi-tenant, we can also use this approach in there because it's actually the multi-tenant APIs that already allow us to do this. So this is a really good option. And if you want to know more about this approach, about this option, then again, I would encourage you to go and see Fessa and Bert's session on Thursday morning because they will be showing this. These are actually their slides. So I see that my slides haven't been updated. The slides on the computer here haven't been updated. So we'll because we both would have the same type of demo, I will not do a demo on that. If you want to see that, you will have to go to their session on Thursday. Which brings us to the wrap up. And the first thing, web templates are a good approach to configure your sites, to provision your sites, to come up with different configurations for your site, especially in an on-premises environment. They give you a lot of flexibility, and they allow you to create any type of site that you want to create, basically, without tying you into the web templates that you use to create those sites. So it's a lot better approach. If you want to upgrade your environment, then you will never be tied into your web templates. You can simply throw the web templates away if you don't want to use them anymore. If your customer changes his or her mind about what he wants on the site, you can simply update the web template. One thing to keep in mind, by the way, updating a web template or a site definition or whatever other approach you choose will not update any existing sites that have already been created. And many, many customers ask for that functionality, but SharePoint wasn't really built to do that. So you can create your own engine to update site collections or sites after they've been created on a certain template so that they reflect changes that a customer wants to make in that template moving forward. But out of the box, that doesn't happen. And in a lot of cases, it's really difficult to do that properly because a site owner might have made changes to a site. So how do you know that a list with a certain title is not available? Or how do you know that if you want to make changes to a content type, that the user didn't make changes to the content type as well, and you will undo those changes to that content type? These are real-life examples. It's not made up. Right? This is what happens if you try to go through that approach. I'm not saying that you should never do it, but you should be aware that going there, it can be really tricky, and it's not trivial. If you have 10 sites, then it will probably be easy to manage, and you can even check every site before you make the changes. But if you have thousands of sites, and this is an automated approach, you have to make sure that in the updates that you are writing for your existing sites, that you take into account what a site owner might have changed on your site, on the existing sites. So definitely a good thing to keep in mind, and also something to explain to your customer when you're talking about creating sites or provisioning sites, especially if you're provisioning a lot. Because I've seen many, many customers that ask for this type of functionality. Out of the box, whatever approach you choose, existing sites will not be updated if you change whatever template is used to create new sites. You can't use web templates to create normal sites in apps. So if you're working with apps, you have to go the remote provisioning approach. The safe site as template approach is not recommended simply because it's not stable enough. If you only have out-of-the-box stuff, you can consider it if you really want to, but I would recommend not to not go there. And if you have a cloud-hosted environment, like Office 365, then definitely the right approach would be to use a remote provisioning approach. And even if you have an on-premises environment, but you're thinking about moving to the cloud in a reasonable period of time, then this is probably the right way to go, so that you can actually reuse all the stuff that you've built in the environment that you will be moving to. The only thing that you might then throw away is that little module that you need right now, that WCF service, to actually do the site collection creation. But that will be a minor little bit of work compared to all the configuration stuff that you need to do. And again, if you want to know more about site provisioning, then see the session on Thursday morning. Get up early so that you can catch all that. So that was it as far as my content is concerned. If you have questions, I will be happy to take them. If you could please use the microphone in the middle so that they will be recorded as well, then that will be great. And we have swag for any questions that are being asked. So thank you.
So can we change the quick launch using the web template? Can we change the quick launch URLs, whatever we see in the navigation pane on the left?
Yeah, you can create a feature to create to manage the quick launch, yes.
Oh, OK. It's a sandbox feature, right? I mean, I don't have to go for a full test or a coded solution, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Do you want a T-shirt or a hacky sack, I think it's called? One of them.
With web templates, if you need to update us, you want to say update branding, and you've deployed those sites are existing. Would you just have to just update the features that were associated with it on those existing sites? Because new sites will have the new branding, but the old site wouldn't.
You will have to create custom functionality that will update that feature. So you can use feature update. If you can use that feature upgrade features, then of course that will work fine. That will be a good solution. If that doesn't work in your scenario, then you will need to make sure that you create a new feature or a new bit of functionality that does the actual updates on your site. Yes.
Thanks.
Hi. If I create a site collection feature, like for web template, okay, a web template with a site collection scope, okay, and if I create a subsite, how to prevent displaying that web template while creating subsites? Is there any way?
So you want to create a site scoped feature?
So we have a web template, which is a site scoped web template.
Yeah.
But what happens is when we create subsites, that web template is displayed in the custom templates. Is there a way we can prevent it from displaying?
It will automatically be displayed if the feature is activated in the site collection. If it's not activated, obviously it won't be. If it is in there, it will always be visible. There is no hidden property like you have on the webtemp.xml file in the site definition.
Okay.
So if you don't want to sort of hide it from the user interface, there is no good way to do that.
I think I might have ran into a gotcha that you mentioned in your wrap-up, which is don't use safe site template link. So if the publishing feature is turned on, stamp that. I'm just basically going into SharePoint Designer and turn the value to true and then navigate to safe TPL, TMPL, SPX. Is the gotcha there the reason why you don't want to use the safe site template? Because when you create a site with that WSP, publishing feature is not coming on.
Well, the approach that you're describing, if you activate the publishing feature, then the safe site template link is hidden from the user interface. And there's a reason for that, because you shouldn't be using it. So if you still find a way to go to the safe site template page, whatever you do is unsupported anyway.
Oh, okay.
So the advice that I was giving was in a site where the publishing feature is not activated. But if you have the publishing feature activated, or the Safe Citus template link is not available, then definitely don't use it in that scenario, because it will always mean that you're in an unsupported scenario.
So the template itself doesn't have anything special in it. It's just a particular structure that's been set up. So what would your advice be to go around this? Because the branding needs to be there. And that's why the publishing feature
create
has to be
a web template.
Just provision
or a site template. Provisioning, a remote site provisioning solution. Yeah, there is no way you can do that with Safe Citus template. No.
Okay. Any teasers on what might be coming that would make that possible?
No, there will definitely not be any improvements made to Safe Citus template, no.
Okay, thank you.
Can we do roles in the web template, like custom roles?
Custom workflows?
Roles, like permission roles.
Oh, rules. Yeah, I think so. If you can't, well, you can't put it in the web template itself, but you can put it in a feature.
Oh, okay.
So anything you can do in a feature, you can add the feature into your web template, and you're golden.
Activate with the feature.
Yep.
Okay, thanks.
You mentioned something about managing metadata.
Yep.
Let's say I have a situation that I need to provision a new site with my custom libraries and with my own custom content types with managed metadata as a set column. So I think you mentioned something about there's some limitations about managed metadata. So what are the alternatives?
You can't use the declarative approach to create managed metadata site columns. So in this case, what you would have to do is create code behind and create your site columns using that approach. So just write code to create your site columns. Instead of create CAML, create XML to create your site columns.
So
the limitation there would be that you don't want to use a sandbox solution to do that because code behind in sandbox solutions is deprecated. So you would be either looking at a full trust solution with web templates in it,
yeah,
or you would be looking at a remote provisioning solution where you use code to create it.
Okay. All right. Okay, thanks.
No problem.
Thanks.
Good catch.
You mentioned property bags for storing the web template source. Is that something of a standard? I mean, like, for example, I'm like crawling sites to find out, you know, which template they're based on. So is that the proper place to look at the property bags of a particular site? Will it be the proper place to look at?
I don't think you can easily query the stuff that's in the property bag.
I mean, like using server object model, let's
say. Yeah. Fessa, pay attention. If you have, the question is, if you store information in the property bag, can you find it using search? Ah, okay. So
API and metadata is only available within the user source of care.
Okay.
You can actually enable that using JSON as well,
mm-hmm,
by side object model within the cloud, but then you need to do tricks.
Okay.
But yes, you can index that.
Okay.
So yes, it's possible, but only using full trust code because you need to explicitly enable crawling the property back. Good question.
Okay, thanks.
Cool. Out of swag, out of questions.